Welcome back, guys. This is Messy Buns Podcast. I am Mary.
I'm Alex.
And today we're talking about football. No, I'm kidding. We're talking about not living watered-down Catholicism, being on the offense and not the defense, y'all. What does that mean? We're going to talk about it. Join us. What?
So I don't really know much about sports. I'm not really a sports person. I mean, so
don't worry, I will help you.
Are you sure?
After I talk about, so I just found out that I am not a lady.
Wait, what? This is news to me, especially since this podcast is for women.
I don't even remember the context, but Bella, my 3-year-old daughter, was sitting on my lap the other day and she goes, "No, mom, you're not a lady."
Wow.
I know. I said,
how did she know?
I feel like there was some more to the story that I can't remember, but that was obviously the most memorable. And so I was like, well, why am I not a lady? And she was like, "No, mom, you're not a lady." Okay.
I love kids, like the things that kids say, because you have no idea where they're coming from. Like, did they get something from school?
Yeah.
Are they just in a mood? Like, what? Why that
well, and
today?
It wasn't like an insult to her.
Right, right.
It
was just like
offended.
A fact.
It was just like, okay,
you're just not a lady.
Word? Okay, and can I be a lady?
Like, I mean, okay? You do say that you're ghetto a lot, so maybe that's what she was referring to.
I don't say that
to.
I'm ghetto a lot.
I mean,
maybe
you do.
Just a little bit.
Just a lot.
All right, back to sports. So
back to sports. Throw the ball. Yay.
We did get this analogy from somewhere. We're not just making it up.
Well, okay. So my husband sent this awesome, like I woke up to him sending me this awesome YouTube video with this priest who like blew me away.
And then I quickly sent it
to Mary.
Well, and the first thoughts were like, man, this guy set my heart on fire within the first 30 seconds.
Oh my gosh. It was literally like, you have to go check it out. Okay, we're going to try to find a way to link it.
So check the comments or underneath, whatever that's called.
I don't know.
But it's on YouTube. If you search Catholic Answers to Protestant Questions - Father Jonathan Meyer, 9/8/2019. This is a really long, but looks like the page is called All Saints Parish Sunday.
YouTube their homilies.
It's got 92,000 views, so it's not like this is some random thing you found.
No.
And this is not like a Protestant, like we're not talking about anything like that. We're really just talking the heart of like how inspirational he was. And the whole offense defense was that he opened it up talking about, what did he say?
He was basically, we've talked a lot about like the church and the problems with the church today. And I think he really kind of defined what the real problem is that the church has been on a defense and playing defense and not playing any offense whatsoever. And so like we set the church up and we've just been on defense. And so the church isn't growing.
It's been falling apart.
When the church was meant to be offensive, we were meant to be missionary. We were meant to be going out and preaching the gospel. But instead we've been like maintaining and dying.
So he was begging the question, like, why are we not playing offense?
Right.
And it's so true. If you think about the gold is an understatement that we have in our faith with the Eucharist, with the Blessed Mother. I mean, the intercession, the sacrament. I mean, just stop it. Okay. Like, I mean, how can we not be playing more offense? It's so true that like we've accepted this watered down version and we have not changed. Like so many people say, change with the culture. Well, we need to change, but not in the way that you're asking us to. Like we need to defend our faith and like share the beauty that is our faith with the world.
Well, I think that's the difference is instead of defending it, instead of it, you know, he went through the video was like he had all these questions that would typically Protestants would ask Catholics.
Yeah.
And he was like, instead of being on the defensive, why are we not asking the questions? Why aren't we posing like, you know, and it was such a different mindset. And I feel like when you're on the defensive, I mean, just hear the word, you're defensive. Exactly. You know what I mean? We should be so excited about the gospel. Exactly. We should be so passionate about, like you said, the gold that we have in our mm-hmm. faith, the gifts that we have in our faith, that we should be telling everybody about it. You know what I mean? And that's what he was saying, is like, let's stop being on the defensive. So anytime, you know, some random person brings it up, no, we should have already brought it up. In fact, but we should be excited about it and passionate about it. And I was like, amen. Hallelujah. Well, let me move to your place where you preach. And there's a reason for that,
which we need to get to in a second. Yes. But I just wanted to add, thank you, Houdat, for the knee licks. It's lovely. I can bath, which I need. But the point is like, the questions put us in a corner sometimes because we're not prepared like some other Christians are.
Right.
Which, let's just say, it's beautiful that they're prepared, but something's taken out of context.
Right.
Sorry, it's great.
Houdat.
No, it's fine. It's just, I have to like talk about it.
Houdat is my dog, so by the way. Oh, yeah. Because we keep saying Houdat.
That's true.
Houdat is my dog.
We are cheering for the Saints, but it is a name. Yeah,
but nobody is licking her from under the table that's part of the Houdat Nation.
That's just
other
weird
than my dog.
And strange. So anyway, but it's like so many Catholics have fallen into this kind of idea because we're on the defense and or have a lot of us have received watered down Catholicism. Then they start to believe the questions like, well, yeah, why do we do this? Yeah. I don't even know. But it actually makes perfect sense. Like calling men father, like that was much one an example that he uses. It's like we call our parent, you know, our father, and there's nothing wrong with that. Right. Just as an example, but. Just we need to be prepared, but we're starving for this in the seats of church.
Right.
And that's the thing can you talk a little bit about that around, was it Lent that you started having this feeling? 'Cause you were like, what am I going to give up?
So Will and I were going to give up the church for Lent.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking you to explain. But in context, how long ago was Lent, just in the context of this podcast when we're doing this? So how many months ago?
I don't know. I'm getting licked by the dog, so I can't think either.
Yeah. Aren't you wearing jeans? How do you even
know?
No,
she's licking my feet.
Oh, okay.
Just like the church. No, just kidding. Okay, so well, let me go into this. I have been Catholic from before I can remember. And like, I'm not talking like just like, I mean, like I've been in it since I was like 7 years old. I mean, in an intense way. I've been in the traditionalist. I've been in the charismatic. I have been active in my faith, is my point. And I don't mean that like, oh, toot my horn. Mm-hmm. I just mean like I have been going at it for a long time. And I have never been more dissatisfied with the church, I'll be honest. And I had to come to be honest about this because I think the Lord is leading me down a road of exploration, which is what, whenever we have any dissatisfaction or we have questions about the church, it can't stop there. Right. You know, there's a reason why I believe the Holy Spirit is putting this on my heart, because he's asking me to go deeper. He's asking me to look at what it is, you know? And so there's been a lot of thoughts about this.
Well, and I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just want to highlight that part of the problem he talks about is that we've been trained to not ask questions.
Yes.
It's not okay to doubt. It's not okay to, we just listen to what we're taught.
Right, right.
I don't think that's real. Like it is okay. That's not what Christ teaches us.
Well, no.
It
and
is okay.
If the
should,
truth is the
grow.
Truth. Yeah. Like we shouldn't be afraid to confront the truth. You know what I mean? We shouldn't be afraid to question it. We shouldn't be afraid to go deeper, because if it is really the truth, it's only going to make us love it more. You know what I mean? So, and that's where I feel like right now, like I truly feel like the church, and somebody had said I didn't coin this. Somebody said this, I forget who it was, but it couldn't have been more true, that we have gone back to the upper room. That we are afraid and we are back, just like the apostles before the Holy Spirit came down.
Whoa.
They were huddled, right? They were huddled in the upper room. They were afraid. And it wasn't until the Holy Spirit came that they went out and they started preaching like nobody's business. And I love it because it says in the gospel, like it's like they thought they were drunk because of how on fire they were and preaching.
And that was the Holy Spirit.
And like, but But what mass have you gone to where you feel like the priest is drunk because he's so on fire for the Lord?
I'll tell you what. And it, look, we need to pray for our priest, first of all.
Oh, absolutely. This is not, I don't mean this as a bash on
priest.
I know
you don't. I'm just like, just in general, like, this is not to be taken lightly. This Satan is out for, you know, for
the church is under attack. Yeah.
And priests are on the front lines.
Absolutely.
But you can tell when a priest is not in love with Jesus.
Well,
it's written all over.
Afraid.
Or afraid, like, just insert. It's very obvious.
Right.
And we're just starving.
Well, that's
for something more. Like, talk about the hard stuff. Challenge me. Please challenge me. I mean, it's true, you get backlash. Let's be real. Parishioners, they give money. Like, there's some people who don't want to hear it.
Right, right.
But out of love for them, again, how do we challenge people? It's an act of love. To sometimes tell us what we don't want to hear.
Well, and but it's not even like, I don't even feel like it's necessarily they don't want to talk about the controversial stuff, but I also think it's, they don't even want to talk about like I had to be 33 years old to finally understand what it meant to strive for virtue and overcome vice. I heard those words. I knew what they were, mm-hmm. but I had no idea how to do that and how actively I needed to pursue that until I went to this one spiritual director. And I have been going to spiritual mm-hmm. directors most of my life. And mm-hmm. so I'm like, we should be actively pursuing virtue. And most people don't even know what that means in the church. And this is something we should be doing on a daily mm-hmm. basis. And we're not talking about it. Like, why aren't we talking about physical health? You know what I mean? Like, why is we not
spiritual motherhood?
Right. Like, why can't we talk about gluttony, you know, and mm-hmm. in the sense of like not in a balanced lifestyle, like things that are actually applicable to everyday life, so that when we walk out of that church, that we're going back feeling strengthened to continue the fight and to know, to have like even the instructions on this is what I want to focus on this week, you know? Like, we're not even going, like, we don't talk about even the basics, you know? It's literally just this same message of, you know, Jesus loves us, and it's this kind of watered down bull crap.
Well, there's also this cookie cutter impression that we can't be wrong, or we can't fall and struggle with temptation.
Yes.
That's the other thing, is that a lot of us Catholics are walking around like we don't have problems and struggles, which is another thing. Like, how we want a culture to see us as like authentic and like that we struggle and like Christ pulls us out of that, but we've got to be vulnerable. Where's our vulnerability to say, I struggle with whatever, whether it's porn or masturbation or, like, you know,
alcoholism, or addiction, drugs, or
anything.
It doesn't even have to be that. Overeating.
We need that. Like, yeah, exactly. We need that. We need priests to talk about that, to say, look, yes, but God loves you anyway. We love you anyway. We accept you, like, and teach us how to go.
Well, and
there.
Even like, I've been there. Like, that's, you know, doing youth ministry, like, that's the perspective. I had shared this story with you. Like, the reason I am so passionate about authenticity is because of the experiences that I experienced when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a little backstory, like, I've gone through a lot of different sufferings, and one of them was I was abused sexually. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I struggle with the sin of masturbation for a really long time. And that's actually one of the effects you'll see with kids who have been abused. And for years I struggled with this and I fought it, you know, and then God gave me the grace to overcome. It's like, such a beautiful story, honestly, of mercy and the strength that the Lord can give you in the midst of your trial. But my point being is that I went to this youth group and they were so authentic and so real, and they were actually talking about real things. Mm-hmm. And then I gave my witness and testimony on this struggle that I had been dealing with, and they embraced me. Like, they cried with me. And then I had other people coming to me and being like, you know, other women and guys too, of course. I mean, I hate to say it, but we accept that more from guys. Mm-hmm. But like being like, oh my gosh, like I struggled with that too. I didn't know I was the only one. And it was the first moment of true grace where I saw the freedom, beauty of authenticity and vulnerability and humility, you know? And that's what the church is missing, I feel like, is we are so afraid to look, to say that we failed. We are so afraid, oh, what will they think? Oh, their employer might find, like literally, these are the words that I've heard. But what if their employer finds out? What if they don't get into the college because what? They admitted that they had sex out of marriage? Like
write it on Facebook or something.
Right. I mean, people are searching, and you see this especially with the youth. They are drawn to authenticity. People who are willing to be like,
human nature is drawn
failed, but it's like I have overcome, you know? And that's the beauty of our faith, is this message of mercy that we have confession, that the Lord can take this wretched sinner and pull out that poison, mm-hmm. and then heal that soul, and then take that poison and heal someone else because of that beautiful journey of overcoming.
Right.
You know?
Right. And once we open up about our struggles and we are that, have that vulnerability, right. we give somebody else the freedom then.
Yes.
It's like, oh, I'm not the only one.
And I can overcome this.
I can overcome this. There's not judgment. You've been there. Like once yes. we've experienced that, we tend to judge others a little bit less once we understand the struggles,
yes.
right?
Yes.
So there's so much grace and beauty in being able to open up. And now we have to soften our hearts. There's some things that we haven't experienced and gone
right.
through, but
right.
we need to be in a place, again, open to the Holy Spirit and His guidance, to be loving and to avoid that judgment on others, to give them that freedom, even if we haven't been there.
Right.
So that they can open those doors and feel that freedom to be able to talk to us and about that.
Right.
So growing can happen everywhere with that.
Well, this is what's crazy. It's like Will and I talk about this, and we are like talking about this on our marriage podcast of like when we were dating, we were struggling with purity as so many couples do. Mm-hmm. And we were not in the traditional like dating in college because we were back here and we were both working. And so we had a lot of alone time, you know?
Right.
And so we would reach out to other like couples or friends. And really what we got back was a lot of judgment. And it was like, oh, we don't struggle with that. But then when we got married, we would talk to the same couples and they'd be like, oh yeah, we were struggling too. And we were like, are you kidding me? Like,
it's like
if
that's
you
your
had
go,
just,
like, okay, I could talk about this with you now.
Right. Like if you had just admitted it to me, one, you would have given me strength to overcome. And then we could have given you strength,
yes.
but because we're so afraid
accountability
of looking, yeah, it's just this idea. Where in the heck did Jesus ever say that he wanted like you to look a certain way? In fact,
yeah.
he came as a carpenter. He came as the most humble, was born in a manger. If he didn't tell us the walk of holiness is humility and authenticity and vulnerability, I don't know who else did. Like
right.
he was the essence of that, you know, but somehow we've gotten to the church where it's like, I've got to do this. I've got to, you know, like I have to be this certain person. And if I'm not that certain person and if people see that I might've failed, then all is lost.
Well, and talk about appearance too. You experienced this firsthand with your freaking haircut.
Oh yeah.
And your hair color.
But that's what's funny is that because of like, we talk a lot about like just the way that we grew up and things like that. Like I used to be so straight laced in my appearance because I thought that's what I needed to be holy.
Yeah. Oh,
like
crazy.
I thought I had to be like buttoned down cardigan with the long skirt, you know, long brown hair and wearing the rosary around my hand and my scapular, you know, and all of that, you know. And it wasn't really me. And I'm not saying, oh, everybody needs to go out, shave their hair and get tattoos. Like, that isn't my message. My message is, who has God called you to be?
Be you
know what I mean?
Who do you
yeah.
say that I am?
And that, like, I was holding myself back from being my creative self because I was afraid of what other people would see in the church. And let me tell you, I have accepted myself as who I am and I have gotten looks. But I'm freer now
right.
because I'm me. And I've been a witness to other people that
right.
I just because I look different doesn't mean that I'm not able to attain holiness.
You can still
you know?
Be a faithful person. And
yeah.
So look, we're all created individually. God has made us uniquely and beautifully to be able to contribute to the world in ways only we can.
Absolutely.
And that's because there's people who need that example. Yes. You know, this one person isn't going to be able to identify with you, but somebody else will. So yes. They need that.
Yes.
They need us to be us and to live faithful, fulfilling lives that God has called us to, so yes. that we can see we can be ourselves and still be that and live right. that. That's so important.
Well, and it's part of that is also admitting your failings. Like, that's part of who right. you are, is like part of the journey of healing that I've seen is one of the biggest parts is accepting the things that you don't like about you. Amen. You know, because once, if we're constantly trying to reject them, they actually get worse. They get exacerbated because we're not accepting ourselves and we're not accepting that we have limitations. But once we can accept that we have limitations, I had somebody, and I'm going to talk about this on my online ministry, but I had someone ask me, she was like, Elise, like, how are you so free with the things that you're putting out there? You know? And I had to really think about it. And I was like, because like, one, I know that Christ loves me, you know, like that has been the healing that I've received, is that I know Christ loves me and I have nothing to be afraid of. I'm not ashamed of my past mm-hmm. because God has freed me of that shame. You know what
so
I mean?
Beautiful.
And that's the gospel. It's like, I don't have to be worried about, I mean, the apostles, that's how they preached. They preached about, this is where right. I was, this is where I've come, you know? So why would we hide our shame? Why would we be afraid to talk about this beautiful examples of mercy? You know what I mean? Like, that's the testimony. That's the truth. That's the beauty of our faith. And we're so afraid to look bad. Like, oh my gosh, you know, so I admitted that I had struggled with masturbation. I don't give a crap.
I love it.
Like, I don't.
I mean, and it's just, I think that's whoever's listening. I mean, it's just so freeing to hear you be that vulnerable and like it's so, like, you can mess up and you're still loved.
Yeah.
It's the beauty of Christianity. Like, that's how God, like, he loves us anyway.
Oh my gosh. I mean, he freaking romances my heart all the time. Like that's what's so, I am so, like, that is such a grace. And I forgot about that. I forgot what it's like to be so bound that you're hiding who you are and you're hiding that you're hurting, that you're hiding, you know, that you struggled with these things, because that has truly been a gift that God has given me to releasing. Not to say that I don't feel shame or anything about,
right.
you know, but I honestly have seen the power of sharing my faults and sharing the beauty of overcoming them right. and seeing the power of how that affects, especially young kids, because that's a ministry I've mainly done, mm-hmm. you know, and the hope that that gives them, you know,
right, and because they can see that I'm in this now, but I can see someone who got through it.
Yeah.
I know that I can do that too. If this person did it, I can do it too.
And they're looking up to you and they're like, oh, you know, kids like to put you, I think we like to put everybody up on pedestals. So we mm-hmm. look at like these priests or holy people or speakers or things like that. We put them up on pedestals and we're like, oh, they would have never struggled with that. And then when right. one of, and this is why I love speakers who've been like addicts and like all kinds of stuff.
That's
like,
kinda.
Yeah, because then you're like, holy crap. Like, this is the Lord truly can work through anybody. And if they can do it, I can do it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And it gives us so much hope. And it's so awesome because it's like, talk about crushing the head of Satan.
Seriously,
I mean, like,
that's the truth.
Nobody, he does not win, because we can overcome anything. Wow, I'm just getting so excited.
I love it. We can't talk enough about the darkness versus the light, right? Mm-hmm. Satan does not want things out in the light. He wants them hidden. He wants us to feel shame. He doesn't want us to talk about it. The second we bring a little bit of light, I mean, I can't, there are just like that moment that I talked, you know, about my rapping.
Yes.
Like, it was hidden for years. For whatever reason, I felt brave enough to share my the lyrics of one of my first songs with you. And it was just a little bit of light that you were like, these are pretty good, Mary. I mean, to see that blossom from just a little bit of light, y'all. Like,
oh my
it
gosh,
doesn't
they were
take
so good.
A lot, y'all. Satan does not have power over us. He just doesn't. It's deceptive. It's power that we give him.
Yes.
Is where the issues come.
He wants us to hide, like you said. And I think that's the thing, is that now, granted, me sharing so much about my life, I literally just shared about the fact that I struggle with suicide. Like, right. It's a life.
You're really good at
being a lifelong struggle. And I truly do not have fear about that being out there because I know that it will help someone, you know?
So many people.
But here's the thing is that I know there's people who are judging me. I know that there's people who could use that against me. I know all that, but the Lord has told me not to fear, you know? And I know that I'm loved by him. Like, that's the biggest thing is I know I'm loved by him. So I'm loved by him. I don't have to be loved by everybody else, you know? And I know that it's only their woundedness that causes them to be that way. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, I'd rather be on this side and be free because people know who I am. You know what I mean? I don't have to hide. I don't have to hide anything about myself because I've accepted who I am. And I've accepted that God has worked in the midst of my darkest times, you know? And like, holy moly, like I want that freedom for the rest of our church, you know? And when I encounter these people when you're like an authentic person and you encounter somebody who's struggling with authenticity, it's like fireworks. It's like,
absolutely.
It's like, you know, like explosion because
those your fireworks.
It's more like an explosion. Oh my gosh. Because they're so bound.
Right.
And when they're faced with authenticity, it's so threatening to them, you know, and they want to tear it down.
They wish they could have it. They don't know where to start,
but they don't even realize that's what's crazy is like, they're so hidden. They're so bound that they don't even realize why they're angry at this person. And I've witnessed it personally. I witnessed it a lot in the past couple years. But I'm not even angry at those people because my heart hurts for them, you know, that they're bound like that. And so I pray for people like that because they need to be set free. They need to know that no matter what they've done, that like they will be loved,
absolutely.
That they don't have to put up this fake image of themselves. You know what I mean? Like, and this is where I think like, gosh, bringing it all the way back home is like, these are the things that we need to be talking about. Like, this is what I want to hear from priests is talking about authenticity, talking about challenging each other to be vulnerable, to be truthful, to share our stories, to witness, even if, gosh, could you imagine? We talked about this, like having people come up and witness their stories, like sharing their stories in front of other people, whether not even I'm saying at mass, but like at like a gathering at the church, like sharing their testimony, like testimonies are powerful.
What is the most powerful part of any retreat you've been on?
Testimony.
Thank you.
Testimony.
Thank you. Whether it's like a Steubenville trip or the retreats that you did at, you know, it's always so important. Any youth minister, I think, will tell you, have a testimony night. If you're on a bus ride, the bus ride home is the most powerful thing. When I was a youth minister for the very short time I was many years ago, that's what I could tell all the parents, anyone who asked. It was being able to witness these young kids talk about their experience and how they have changed. That changes me.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
There's nothing more powerful than that.
Oh my gosh. I wish I can remember this quote, but it talks about, it wasn't even a Catholic or a Christian quote. It was just talking about like teaching and basically like if like, basically as a student is going to listen more to a witness and a testimony rather than somebody talking at them. You know what I mean? Like if I've lived it, then I can, and I was like, that is so true. Like people want to know that they're not alone. Like they want to know that they're not disordered, that there's not something inherently wrong with them, that they're not a failure, I could go on and on. And if we can be humble enough to share that we've been there, powerful, you know, and I've had these conversations with some of my young adults, like who were my, you know, kids in the youth group, is like them coming to me and crying and being like, you know, I fell back into the sin and being like, guy, I've been there. In fact,
that.
I struggled last week, you know, like I still can fall at times, you know, in these ways. But here's the beauty of confession here, you know, like we have such beauty in that, you know what I mean?
Again, gold, so much I can't, I feel like saying gold is such an understatement. Like, it just doesn't even describe what we have in our faith with the sacraments, with the gifts that, that God has given us.
And this is why we need to be offensive, because we have so much to give that we don't have to wait for people to come to us and then defend what, no, like we should be preaching from the hilltop about how amazing our church is and the richness and the beauty and the...
Y'all go watch this video.
I'm getting all hot and bothered. But not in that way.
No.
I'm just literally like probably bright red right now.
It's just, it's exciting. It really is exciting.
Man, we went from here to here to
it
there.
It just happened. There's our high five for the day.
You got a word
Welcome
for me?
To Messy Buns. I do have a word. Don't look. I saw you looking at that word.
I'm blind, girl. I can't see.
Okay, this is applicable for today. These words are great. Pathetic.
Pathetic?
I'm not even sure I understand the words in the definition.
I know exactly
itself.
What I'm going to say for this one.
Okay. Gosh.
It's when your butt is so small that it's pathetic.
Are you making... not sure. Are you making fun of me at the same
no,
time?
I was making fun of my husband's butt. Because he has no butt. And none of his family has any butts except for his one sister.
Okay.
So they're all pathetic.
All right, so the definition is characterized by triteness or sentimentalism. All right, let's hear it in a sentence. Ironically, this bloated historical drama about Hungary's failed democratic revolution of 1956 evokes, I know, right? Nothing less than a Stalinist pageant. Wow, this is so boring. Everyone on the right side of history is depicted as a morally enlightened superhuman. Okay, when are we going to get into the word, people?
I don't know.
And a wish of pathetic music. A wash, I'm sorry, of pathetic music every few minutes is supposed
to... My definition
to, okay.
was so much
anyway,
better.
This is. I agree this time. I'm gonna give the win to you this time.
Pathetic. It's people whose butts are so small that it's
they're just
pathetic.
Flat
yes.
and non-existent.
So they're pathetic.
Right. When I first looked at the word, I was thinking bathletic, but like athlete and offense and defense, bringing it back to the beginning. Anyway, we tried.
You tried.
People.
You tried so hard.
Hey, thank y'all so much for joining us today. Please come back and hang out with us again next time.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.